This morning, we have our regular Thursday morning community conversations program between 9 and 10 o'clock. And I know many of you are regular listeners out there. If this is your first time listening in, thanks for joining us. We always have interesting stories, interesting people, and we learn some things along the way together with listening to some great music. So thank you for your company this morning. Of course, it is, technically Maundy Thursday, the day before Easter, the day before Good Friday. And most of us, many of us, are having holidays. Some of us have started last week because we've got school holidays. And if you're a parent with kids, well, we know that that's a change in schedule already. We had a program back in August last year where we looked at wills and estates, and we had such an amazing response from that program that by popular demand, I've scheduled another one. And you might say, well, why now? Why Easter? Well, why anytime? When is a good time to make a will? When is a bad time not to have one? And those and a whole lot of other questions around powers of attorney, estates, what happens if I don't have a will? What about a blended family? And all of those sorts of questions we're going to focus on this morning. So hope you'll stay with us. My very special guest via Zoom this morning is Nicole Slingsby. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Great, great. You're looking a very clear picture there, and I can hear you very clearly. Nicole is a solicitor in the main street of Healesville. She's been a Healesvillian for, I think, about 12 years, and she specialises, but not exclusively, but specialises in wills and estates and things like that, but other legal matters as well, Nicole. Is that right?
Yes, things that are related to wills and estates I look after, Bruce, but I try to stick to my lane. That's my area of interest.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're going to hear all about that. Nicole's selected some songs for us, so let's get us in the mood with this changeable weather time at the moment, and whether it's sun or rain, we're going to enjoy it. My very special guest here on Community Conversations this morning via Zoom is Nicole Slingsby, a solicitor based in Healesville, and we're talking wills and estates and powers of attorney and all things related this morning. If you do have a will already, you might just check us out because there are a few things that maybe we've got overlooked or something like that. And if you don't have one, then you definitely need to listen. Let's start there, Nicole. I've got a sense that there are quite a few people out there, quite a percentage of the population who don't actually have a will. And is that true?
Unfortunately, Bruce, I think it might be true. I do have the odd client that comes in and tells me that they've never made a will before and they're mature people. And that frightens me, I must say, because it's only once you get into the process of taking instructions and discussing what that person might want that they very quickly realise that they need to rearrange their affairs for a will to even work. So if they whip up something at home, it's not going to have the desired effect. So it's a very important matter to get some advice on and to at least do some preliminary investigations.
Mm. And this is not necessarily an age thing, is it, Nicole? Because it's never too early to have a will.
Oh, absolutely not. Unfortunately, I deal with some estate matters of quite young people, and that's just a reminder that we really don't know what's going to happen in the future. All of us hope that we're going to live to be 110 and in a healthy manner as well and not need a power of attorney and not have to worry about a will. But the fact is that once those documents are in place and you know that everything's set up the way that you want, you can just get on with living your life. You don't need to worry about it anymore.
And you can always we'll talk about updates and changes later on. But Nicole, what's the most obvious problem with not having a will? I think it's staring us in the face. But you know what? What happens if you don't have one?
Yes. Well, your property passes the way that it's set up. Firstly, might decide that it might be going to a joint owner, for example. So if you own property with someone else and you own it jointly, you might wrongly think you can leave your share to somebody else, and that, for example, a child might receive that share relying on the laws of intestacy, but that won't happen. It'll pass to the joint owner. So to ensure that your property goes to who you want it to go to, you need to document those wishes. You can't rely upon the laws of intestacy without investigating how things are actually set up and how the property might pass.
Now, I've been getting on to Wordle lately, Nicole, together with a whole lot of the population, but one of the words that doesn't fit into the five-letter word is intestacy. So for myself and for our listeners, just explain what that legal term means. If you don't, can I put you on the spot there?
Thank you, Bruce. No, not at all. Intestacy means someone who dies without a will is called intestate. Not interstate, but intestate. So that means that they don't have a will, and their property passes according to the laws of intestacy. And that will depend upon their relationship status, whether they have children with that partner that they leave behind, whether the children are just children of the partner or whether they're just children of the person who died. But essentially, your property is going to pass to your partner in a portion at least, or all of it, or a portion to the partner and a portion to the children. And that's all dependent on the circumstances. But those laws come into play and they direct how your property passes. So if you have a different idea about what you'd like, you really need to address that.
Right. And does that vary at all from one state to another, Nicole? Is that Australia-wide? Is that much the same?
I actually can't speak to the other states, Bruce, because it's state law, and I guess they're probably fairly similar, and I imagine that they're fairly similar, but I don't know.
Yep.
I can only speak to Victoria.
No, that's terrific. So there are clear guidelines. Well, I suppose the intestacy then is kind of like a default, default position, which we may not always want. That's what I'm hearing you say.
That's exactly right. And the other thing is, if you've got your own will, you can appoint someone as executor who is the person who looks after your will and your wishes and administers your estate on your behalf. So if you don't have a will in place, then someone will be appointed to do that who doesn't necessarily know you or know your wishes or doesn't care necessarily about what you want. So it's important to have the choice and be able to appoint someone who you trust to do that job for you.
Terrific. And you're with Bruce Argall on Community Conversations on Thursday, the 14th of April. There you go, leading into Easter, which is absolutely, well, a wonderful time of the year. Autumn here in the Yarra Valley just looks absolutely amazing. And, it's going to be a very big weekend. They're saying that there's 380,000 people due to depart Melbourne Airport in the next 4 days. Wow, that's nearly 10% of the population here. I wonder where they're all going. Well, I'm going to be around here, but certainly a lot of people on the move, and we're on the move here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 because this morning we're talking wills and estates, powers of attorney, with my special guest, Nicole. Nicole, I think we better go back just for a moment to 101, wills 101. Just make sure we're all on the same page. A will, what is it? What's in it and what's not in it? And what does it look like? How's it structured and all of that? Can we start there?
Yeah, sure. Okay, a basic rundown. So your will needs to be in writing. That makes sense, doesn't it? Someone else needs to be able to read it. It needs to be signed by the will maker in the presence of two or more witnesses, and those two or more witnesses need to attest to and sign the will. And this is, I suppose, to guard against fraud more than anything. Your will should appoint an executor, so a person who you'd like to be in charge of walking into an office like mine or someone else's and saying, here's the death certificate, here's the will, what is it I need to do? So that person doesn't need to be an accountant or a financial whiz.
Okay.
They need to be someone who won't leave the will under their bed and forget about it.
Yes, I shouldn't joke about it, but it does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, and then most importantly, your will needs to dispose of your property. So you can dispose of certain things in beneficial gifts to beneficiaries, specific gifts, and then dispose of what they call the residue of the estate. So anything else that's left where you'd like it to go.
So that's things like jewellery or a motor vehicle or could be any asset at all. Nicole, am I right?
That's right. It's important to remember, though, that when you're talking about specific gifts, if you name a specific gift, say my Holden FC, my FC Holden, if you don't own that vehicle at the time that you die and you've bought something else in place, you might have bought a Ford instead, that beneficiary won't receive the Ford, they won't receive anything. So if you give a specific gift, it's important to remember that if you no longer own that when you die, that gift will fail.
Mm. Hey, what about if you still owe money on your Ford or your Holden?
Yeah, okay, that's an important point. So you can specify in your will what you'd like to happen and where you'd like particular debts paid from. The general rule in the Administration and Probate Act is that any item that has a charge on it or money owing on it, that money is paid out of the sale of that particular item. So for a house, if it's got a mortgage on it, then the expectation is that that house will be sold and the mortgage paid off, and then the money go to the residue, unless you make other arrangements in your will. So that's important to consider because you might want something completely different. For example, you might want your superannuation paid into your estate and then to pay off a debt and to give the house to someone debt-free or unencumbered.
Mm. And dating, and how long is a will valid for, Nicole?
Oh, yeah, well, a will's valid until it's revoked, and you can revoke a will by either destroying it and with the intention of revoking it. Being of sound mind at the time, though, not something to do after you've had a bottle of wine.
Yes.
That might not count. It might be a problem if you revoke a will then. Or if you make a new will, that revokes the old will. And until then, that will remain. So it's really important to review an old will and make sure that it still applies and that it still accords with your wishes.
And when you say a new will, is it possible just to sort of add a paragraph or add a an extra bit onto it or something as circumstances change, or do you actually start again and do a new one?
No, you can make a codicil which can just alter a particular part or update a particular part of the existing will, and it's a separate document that then affects that will, only to the extent of the inconsistency. However, nowadays, because we solicitors store everything in electronic form as well, it's probably in most cases just as easy and cost effective to make a new will if you're going back to the same solicitor that you made the initial will with.
Okay. No, that's terrific. All right. And the will, you've said it already has to be witnessed, obviously has to be signed, has to be dated.
Yeah.
What's not in there that sometimes people might think is in there, what's not appropriate to put in a will? How about that?
Yes, so things that you can't leave in a will are jointly held property. That's important to remember. So if you own a house, for instance, and you own it with your partner, you might own it as joint proprietors, which means that you both own 100% of the property together. And that means that if one of you die, that property automatically goes to the other person who owned 100% with you. It doesn't even come into your estate, and so it can't be passed according to your will.
I'm seeing some horror stories there. Just listening to you, Nicole, I reckon there'd be some, very unfortunate outcomes there.
Yes, I'm sure that there are, and there are, I know that a lot of clients who come to see me have found that they own their property differently than what they initially thought, and it means that they can't necessarily do what they want, especially with so many people living in blended family situations now.
Yes.
So there are all of those things to take into account, and often a reshuffle of how you own property is necessary so that you can leave it according to your will. Company property also, you can leave company shares in your will, but you can't leave company-owned property because it's not yours. It belongs to the company. Superannuation is really important these days because it's often one of the largest assets that you have. And you firstly need to get good tax advice on what you'd like to do with your superannuation before you make any decisions. But now we have the power to make binding death benefit nominations so that you can have some certainty as to what's going to happen with your superannuation being one of the largest assets. And you can either leave it to a superannuation dependent, or you can direct it into your estate if you wanted to leave it to somebody else. But as I said, there's different tax consequences depending on where it goes, and it's important to get that financial and tax advice.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful, clear picture, a clear picture you're painting there, Nicole, and appreciate your generosity in sharing your knowledge with us.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
You're with Bruce Argyle this morning, and we're talking community conversations, and thank you for joining us. We're talking this morning wills and estates and powers of attorney, and we've just been talking about wills. If you've just joined us, this program is being podcast. It'll be on the website in another week. You'll be able to check it out there. But we just got to the point, we being myself and Nicole Slingsby, kindly joining us via Zoom this morning from Healesville. Nicole's a solicitor who specialises in wills and estates, and we were just going to talk, Nicole, about blended families or different family structures, just generally, and what does that mean in this particular specialist state? Can you share that with us?
Yes, it raises a lot of issues, Bruce, and even if all of us take a moment to think about our moral obligations to look after people in our lives as we see it or when we die, a lot of us are in situations where we have a spouse, we have children perhaps from a previous relationship, or maybe even that spouse has children from a previous relationship. And you have to really take into account not only the situation now, but what it might be in the future. So
that's a bit tricky sometimes, isn't it?
It's really tricky. It's hard for people to even get their head around and have a frank discussion about, let alone put all of their wishes down on paper. And we ask a lot of tricky questions and really get into the crux of it. But a lot of people come in, for example, wanting to leave everything to each other as a couple, and then everything to their collective brood of children. And
some of us have a few, Nicole, but go on.
Yeah, that's it. And that's not a bad idea, and I can understand where that's coming from, and there's trust built up between that couple. But it's also important to get advice on that before you take that sort of action, because one person might pass away and the other person might go on to live for another 20 years and couple up again, or even have another child, and their preferences as to who they'd like to leave their estate to can change.
Quite complex. You know, as family structures have certainly changed over the years, Nicole.
Yeah.
So what advice? I know you're always cautious in giving advice over radio. People might be listening, Nicole. No, What sort of considerations do you think are important here then? What is really important?
So my best advice is to get advice. Your particular circumstances are going to be particular to you. We have to take into account relationships, the situations, both financial and relationship-wise, of other people involved and your potential beneficiaries or children or dependents. There are a number of options, and what you sometimes hear about is a spouse leaving to their partner a life estate, allowing them to live in the house until they pass on, and then for the house to be divided up between the children. And that is a good idea if everything is set up well and that other person's well provided for. But you also need to think about the fact that this person left behind may need to sell that house to move into a supported living arrangement at some stage in their life. They may need to diminish the value of that share of the property so that they can pay for that living. And all of these different aspects of potential problems need to be thought about early on, because it's not easy to live with a very long-term clause in a will that's going to govern a large part of your life. So it's important to nut it all out beforehand. It's always better to leave property absolutely if you're able, but not everyone has such a large estate that they're able to do that and service everyone in their life.
Yes. Very, very complex stuff. And of course, we know, without going into detail, that things do unravel, Nicole, you know, and sadly that wills and estates can be very divisive for many families as well, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah. A lot of that can be prevented, Bruce, if you get advice early and make your will taking into account the advice and mitigating the risks, then estate planning can really remove a lot of risk and probably give you more certainty as to what might happen. So it's worthwhile thinking about, especially if you've got a complex situation to deal with. Probably the worst thing you can possibly do if you think that things are complex and you'd like to help yourself is to get a make your will at home kit. Please don't do that.
Right. Don't do that. Yes.
Yeah. People trying to carry out complex matters in simple will kits just doesn't work. It creates a lot of problems.
Yes. It might actually have the opposite effect to what was actually intended.
That's just it.
Yes.
And it's really important to get proper advice, and you'll save a lot more money in the long run, that's for certain.
There you go. We're talking wills and estates and now powers of attorney with my very special guest, Nicole Slingsby, our local solicitor. We do have a specialist, we're very fortunate here in the Yarra Valley, in this area. And Nicole, we were just going to, off air, we're just saying, powers of attorney, we'll have to try and do it justice in the short time we have left today. But what is a power of attorney, and how's it different from a will?
Bruce, an enduring power of attorney, I'll say the enduring power of attorney because that's what we'll talk about here, is like a living will. So it dies when you die, so it's only relevant while you're alive. But the enduring part means that it endures even if you lose capacity. So you can make one to begin immediately while you have capacity if you wanted to, or you can make it begin just if you lose capacity. So if you don't have capacity to make decisions for yourself at some stage in life due to a medical problem or an accident or whatever it might be, you can appoint someone who can stand in your shoes and make decisions on your behalf. And the types of decisions that you can appoint them to make are financial decisions and personal decisions. So they're the powers. So financial power is the power to pay your bills, take money from your bank account, spend money on your behalf. They could even mortgage your house if they weren't limited in their power. But they're only allowed to spend money on your behalf for your benefit in accordance with what they believe your wishes are, and mm-hmm. they need to include you in that decision-making process as far as possible.
Is that a family member typically, or an expert, or a trusted advisor? How do we pick that person, Nicole? Mm.
Yeah, so it's a difficult choice for some people. Some people are lucky enough to have around them family members who they trust implicitly, and that's wonderful, but it does need to be somebody who you can trust, because even though there are rules in place to say that people can't take your money and go to the Bahamas, you need to be able to enforce those rules and make an application to VCAT to get someone removed if they're doing the wrong thing.
So trust is a very important issue.
Trust is a big thing. And one thing that you can do is to appoint more than one person. So you can appoint people jointly. And that way they need to discuss the decision-making process together, and they both need to sign any relevant documentation. You can also place limitations on power in your enduring power of attorney. So you could place any types of limitations, really, but an example might be that if there's any transaction for over $50,000, that you'd require them to get a medical certificate from your doctor saying that you don't have capacity to make that particular decision. Capacity is something that can wax and wane. Mm. And as you know, we all have better days.
Yes.
If you're suffering from some sort of illness that affects capacity, you might have capacity to make some types of decisions, but other types of complex decisions you might need assistance with. So it's not necessarily here now and gone then. It's something that can change. So you can put limitations in to protect you from that type of thing.
Well, how common would an enduring power of attorney be? Is that something typically that most people who make a will would also do this?
Yes, most people would. It's very important to consider, especially if you own property, it's something that you really need to consider, because you can't sell that property or deal with that property if you've lost capacity to do so. And the alternative is that if your partner, for example, needed to sell that property so that they could look after you, that they'd have to go and make an application to court to be able to do that.
Ouch.
And if you've got an enduring power of attorney in place and they can stand in your shoes and carry out what they need to be able to look after you, then you've got that protection, and there's not another backup in the law for someone to stand in your shoes other than going through a legal process.
Wow. So it becomes very important then. It could be as important as the will itself, Nicole.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's, like I said, it's a living will, and although none of us think that we're going to need it, and we hope we won't, I certainly would not be without one, because I want to know that if anything ever happens to me, I've appointed someone who I trust to take care of making decisions on my behalf, and they know what my wishes are, and I know that they'll carry them out.
Mm.
So it's very important to consider from that point of view, and it does give you peace of mind as well.
Wonderful. You're listening to Nicole Slingsby, and we're talking wills and estates and powers, well, enduring powers of attorney at the moment. You've been listening to Community Conversations. We're almost out of time. It's got away from me this morning, but we have been listening to Nicole Slingsby, and I haven't given you her details. So if you want to speak with Nicole, you can give her a call, not over Easter, but sometime after that, on 8521 5656. Or you can send her an email, nicole@nicole.slingsby.com.au. Is that right, Nicole? Nicole.slingsby.com.au?
No dot.
So it's just...
From that, perfect.
Sorry about that. So it's just nicole@nicoleslingsby.com.au, or give her a call on 8521 5656. Nicole, we could have talked for another hour easily. We'll have to have you back on maybe later in the year or something like that. But thank you so much for being willing to share your insights around this very, very important area.
problem, Bruce. Thanks for having me.